Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Okay, so when I was asked to talk this morning, I asked what the theme should be, and I was very helpfully told, "Whatever God lays on your heart." I was a little nervous, as he tends to open a can of worms that some of us would rather not open when presented with something like that. So I've been praying for the last few weeks on what God wants us to hear or me to say. And as expected, God has been saying in a loud, booming voice, "Forgiveness." So I was reasonably happy with that. That's easy, isn't it? Forgiveness for our sins from God. I can do that. Okay, yippee. But oh no, God has persisted with that gentle prodding that he does best, telling me that I need to go deeper than that. So I'm going to give it a try. Okay. So my first thoughts were, when was a time when I needed forgiveness? And I was actually provoked by Chris Baker's recollections from his childhood a few Sundays ago, when he was telling us about his much-loved TV show. Was it Question of Sport or something? It was a wrestling. I know it was wrestling. Can't remember the name of the program, but I know it was wrestling. And I too was reminded of a show from that period in time that led to me needing an awful lot of forgiveness. So, hopefully this works. While they fiddle, Steve, would you mind doing the next slide and the music that goes with it, please? Needed to get to the fame bit. Okay. So I spent a vast amount of time as a teenager doing dancing, ballet, tap, modern, and my favourite show was Fame. If you've ever watched the show, it's about students from an arts and dance school in America, and the opening show titles is That Song. And as they perform these amazing feats of athleticism, they leap in the air to the word fame. So one afternoon, whilst watching Fame on the VHS tape, I was spinning about in the front room, dancing along to the titles, as you do. And in my enthusiasm, I leapt off an armchair. Could we have the next slide? Thank you. My mother was very proud of her light fitting. And as I leapt off the armchair, punching my arm in the air to Fame, I accidentally hit the bottom light fitting. Oh, thank you. And in slow motion, the bottom sphere, like a pendulum, rocked towards the second one, which then in turn rocked towards the third, and left me standing in a room surrounded by shattered glass. To say I was in trouble was an understatement. I was banished to my room, And my mum is known for holding grudges, so forgiveness was not forthcoming anytime soon. My dad, bless him, has always been my hero, and he managed to source an identical light fitting. This was before the internet. He worked long hours, 12-hour shifts, often doubling back. So he must have scouted various shops, actually physically, rather than buying something online. So my shame was further compounded by putting my dad to have to fix one of my mistakes. He dutifully replaced the light fitting. And when he finished, he took the ladder down and I had sat and watched him. He turned to me, and again, that slow motion film started to play. As the ladder he was holding swung towards the bottom sphere of the light fitting. Endless cycle of resentment and retaliation. For our own personal growth and peace, we must learn to be a forgiver of people. He is my husband, in case anybody was wondering. Okay, where are we going? Okay. So we're going to look at what the Bible actually says about forgiveness. And Jesus has been very clear to us about what he says about forgiveness. So we're going to focus on Mark 11:25. And I've used the New Living Translation. And Mark says, when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Forgiveness is something we all struggle with. And Jesus says we have to do this in order to be forgiven ourselves. So I'm going to try and explore this in a little bit more detail. And we're going to focus on three main areas. We're going to think about why forgiveness should be our priority, why our forgiveness should have no boundaries, and why forgiveness affects our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. So, forgiveness should be our priority. Mark says, when you are praying, first forgive. Some translations don't use that word first, but they say something like, whenever you stand praying, forgive. This means one of the first things we need to do in our prayer life is to forgive others. We need to check our hearts and attitude toward other people. Forgiveness has to be our priority. God's word reinforces this repeatedly in the Bible, and there are numerous examples, but I've just picked a few. So in Colossians 3:13, it says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Everyone has faults. We have faults in the way we think, the way we act, the way we react, or the way we speak. We have to make allowance and room for people to do things that offend us. And when they do offend us, we have to make room to forgive them. A tough thing to do. And how we do this needs further thought. in Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Again, we're instructed, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviour. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So instead of reacting with bitterness, rage, anger or harsh words, slander or some other evil behaviour, we have to respond with forgiveness. It has to be a priority in our life. We need to do it every single day. And again, we'll return to what that might look like in a bit. Secondly, the Bible tells us that our forgiveness should have no boundaries. And I've thought about that in three different ways. So no boundaries when it comes to the person that we're having to forgive. No boundaries when it comes to the offence we're trying to forgive. And no boundaries when it comes to the amount. So Mark, again, in 11:25 says, forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against. And I really like it when people that are speaking talk about the Greek and what the word means. So I had a look at the word anyone and what is the Greek. And it's got a really deep technical meaning. The word anyone means anyone in Greek. So no matter who they are, they could be your spouse, your ex-spouse, your boss, your ex-boss, your coach, your teacher, a student, your parent, your son or your daughter, or your neighbour, or that person from years and years ago, everyone and anyone, no exceptions, we have to forgive. Told you this wasn't easy. Okay. We also should have no boundaries on that amount of forgiveness, on what the offence is. So Mark says, forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, including people that broke your light fitting. Some translations simply say, if you hold anything against someone, you need to forgive them. No boundaries, no limits on this forgiveness. A grudge is that feeling of resentment, anger or bitterness towards someone. We can hold a grudge towards our parents, toward a fellow employee or a student, towards our children when they break your lights, or towards someone at church even. It can be about something they said, something they did, or something they didn't say, or something they didn't do. God's word doesn't say forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against unless they did this or this. If they did that, you've got a right to hold a grudge. In reality, if we hold a grudge, then it's really the grudge that has a hold on us. Forgiveness has no boundaries when it comes to the offence. We have to let it go. And again, the Bible is very clear that our forgiveness has no boundaries when it comes to the amount we need to forgive. So looking at Luke 17, 3 and 4, it says, if another believer sins, rebuke that person, then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. Again, that's reiterated in Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle amounts with his servants. You should not say, this is the last time I'm going to forgive you. Jesus has made it absolutely clear numerous times that forgiveness has no limits. Please don't think that I am stood here as someone who thinks this is easy. It really isn't. And C.S. Lewis, that very famous Christian and author, once said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have to do something or to forgive. So forgiveness is difficult, something we all struggle with. The enormity of God's forgiveness for our sins demonstrates how difficult it is He sacrificed his only son so we could be forgiven. That is no small thing. Forgiveness requires an enormous amount of sacrifice on our part. But with God's grace, forgiveness is given. But we need to be really careful that we do that in the right way. Forgiveness should not be so many different things. Sorry, a bit small, but I'm going to go through what forgiveness shouldn't look like. So, forgiveness shouldn't be denying, approving, or diminishing the wrong that was committed against us. We shouldn't say, we're fine, that's not a big deal. Or that since that thing was in the past, we've just moved on. We must be honest about the reality of the wrong that's been done against us if we want the forgiveness to be equally serious. In forgiving, we are saying the person was wrong. We do not have to approve of that action, but forgiveness doesn't excuse their behaviour. Forgiveness prevents their behaviour from destroying our hearts. Forgiveness is not ignoring the wrong that happened. I've been guilty of this, ignoring the sin that was committed against a person or against yourself. Ignoring the wrong committed against us is not forgiveness. You have to acknowledge the wrong done to you and forgive them. Similarly, forgiveness is not enabling sin. Even though we are to forgive a person many times, not just 7 times, 77 times, our forgiveness should be given in such a way as to not encourage or enable the person to continue hurting us. And forgiveness is not forgetting about that sin that's been committed against you. We all know, actually, as humans, it's impossible to completely forget something. It crops back up in your head. It might be a week later, it might be years later. That is human nature. But that does not mean we are walking in unforgiveness. That's more of an indication that we're still hurting or grieving, and that's allowed. When God says, their sin I will remember no more, he doesn't mean that he has no memory, but rather that he continually chooses not to keep bringing it up to the forefront of his thinking. He does not hold it against them anymore, and we can forgive someone and still hurt by the offence, but not hold it against that person. Forgiveness is also not about dying emotionally, no longer feeling the pain. We can all be guilty of cutting off the pain and not thinking about it. Rather, forgiveness allows us to feel the appropriate depth of pain. Choose by grace not to be defined by it. Forgiveness is not a one-time event. As I said, that hurts can cycle back, particularly when we're feeling vulnerable. Even if that person is no longer present in your everyday life, you may still have to come back and forgive that person to protect your own heart. Forgiveness is also not reconciliation. Forgiveness is you forgiving the offender. Repentance is the offender asking forgiveness and to stop doing that offensive action. Reconciliation is when both forgiveness by the victim and repentance by the offender meet. And that requires time. And that can be a long time in some cases. Forgiveness is not neglecting justice. If a crime has been committed against you, you can forgive the criminal, you can call the police to arrest him or her at the same time. Forgiveness and justice should not oppose each other. The thief on the cross was forgiven of his sins, but he was still punished for the crimes that he committed. Finally, I want to think about how forgiveness affects our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. So going back to Mark 11:25, Mark goes on to say, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. The idea of God's forgiveness towards us being connected with our forgiving others is repeated in God's word. For example, when Jesus was teaching us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, he said in Matthew 6:12, we are to pray, forgive us our sins We have forgiven those who sin against us. And I think sometimes with the familiarity of the prayer, we don't really think about what that means. Again, a couple of verses later, Jesus says in Matthew 6:14-15, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. To understand what Jesus is saying, we need to know about those three types of forgiveness that he offers. He offers redemptive forgiveness. That's the forgiveness we have when we're saved or we receive salvation. An example of this is Zechariah. He prophesied over John the Baptist at his birth. Zechariah said, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Everyone who has ever or will ever become a child of God has experienced redemptive forgiveness. As well as redemptive forgiveness, we have restorative forgiveness. That's what we receive as a believer. So when we confess our sins to the Heavenly Father, in 1 John, John is writing to believers and says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all wickedness. When we sin, and we all do, we are human. Our fellowship with God is broken, but not our relationship. Our relationship with God is that he is our Heavenly Father, and we are his child. It's like any parent-child relationship. If a child lies or steals or breaks a favourite light fitting, then the disobedience against the parent affects their relationship until there is confession of the sin and forgiveness given. When that happens, the fellowship between us and our Heavenly Father is restored. And lastly, there's relational forgiveness. That's the forgiveness we have given or received from others. We are told in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So when Jesus says, when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins, he is referring to both restoration and relational forgiveness. When you forgive that person, that you're holding a grudge against, your Heavenly Father needs to forgive. When you forgive that person you're holding a grudge against, your Heavenly Father forgives you for holding that grudge in the first place. Your fellowship with people affects your fellowship with God. That's how God designed us. We need to have that those good relations and fellowships with people and forgive those that hurt us, to enable us to have a good fellowship with God. So forgiveness is really difficult. We need to ensure that it's the priority in our life. We need to examine our hearts regularly. So I'm coming into land. As I finish, I think we don't think about forgiveness enough. We are told it's our priority, and it affects our relationship every single day with God. So I'd like us to consider three questions. And as the service draws to an end, and as we worship, and as we travel through this week, I'd like you to think about these three questions. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to ask forgiveness from? And have you accepted God's forgiveness that he offers you? We can be forgiven of our sins. The only way we can have eternal life is to receive God's forgiveness. Paul stated this clearly when he said that through this man Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sin. Everyone who believes in him is declared right with God's, God. Acts 13, 38, 39. But to maintain that fellowship with God, we must think about forgiveness every single day as we walk with our Heavenly Father. I'd like Margaret to finish with the Lord's Prayer, please.
I'm reading this as written in Matthew 6. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Amen.